I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission, Monday, June 10th, 2013, to order, and call on Sue Clayton to offer an opening prayer. If you'd go up front, thank you, Sue.
Our Father, how good it is to wake up this morning in your presence. We thank you, Father, for the beauty of this day, Father, for the freedom of this country, and Father, for jobs to go to. And Father, I ask just now that you would be in this place. I ask, Father, your blessings upon our commissioners. I ask that you grant them wisdom and guidance, Lord, as they make the decisions for our county. I ask for, Father, a unity of this body. And Father, we'll be careful to praise you for it. Amen.
Amen. Commissioner Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Sue. Monthly budget report. Rick, we'll move on, but when you come in, then we'll have that report. Accounts payable.
Move to approve checks numbers 334019 through 334067. Warrants 5795, 5796, and 5797. And there's one transfer for paper usage.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve checks 334019 through 334067, warrants 5795, 96, and 97, and one transfer for paper usage. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
On that particular issue, so that I can bring it up at this time, there. When a check is questioned or there needs to be a response time to find out whether a bill has been presented right, we have asked that that check be voided instead of held. In the past, there's been checks that have been held for some period of time because of no response to questions asked, and so I just wanted to bring that forward at this time. Did you want that in the point of a motion, or did you? In the past, we've asked that the checks be held, and I'm asking that they be voided and rewritten.
Currently, we have some checks that have been withheld. Are you asking for us to void those particular checks and all future?
Yes, there's one check as I look through that that's been held for some matter of time, which we have asked twice. I think it's been presented before us through accounts payable, and the answers to the questions we had have never been answered. And that check lays void in the treasurer's office, and I don't think that it's appropriate to hold the check when it should be just rewrote.
We have a mileage check that has not been paid because there was no documentation for the mileage.
Right, okay. Right.
Can we sense what is pending? Could we sit down with the treasurer and have a discussion about that in the near future and then move forward on that issue?
The reason I brought that up is because we are posted for accounts payable and it involves that, so go ahead.
Previous meeting minutes.
Move to approve minutes from 422, 425, 429, 5-2, 5-6, 5-13, 5-16, 5-30, and 6-3.
I'll second the motion.
Those are exec session minutes?
Yep.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the exec session minutes dated 4-22, 25, 29, 5-2, 6, 13, 16, and 30, and 6-3. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Monthly budget report. Mr. Finley, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good.
You guys are sending you this report monthly, and really just want to make sure that you don't have any questions about it when I bring it in here. Don't notice anything that's really alarming. We are in general county revenue. The fund balance is down right now. It's hard to make an accurate comparison to where we were last year, but the reason being is we moved the law enforcement tax out of there. But I did kind of try to look at that a little bit, and the law enforcement tax actually last year looks like had brought in enough revenue almost offset the judicial bond payment at this point. And if that's the case, and I'd have to figure that more closely to say it was the case, we probably have a little...
Let me ask you a question about that. The judicial bond payment that we made was in the neighborhood of $1.6
million? 1.2, I think, right?
1.2, and we have brought in how much through?
Last year it looks like it was about that much. This year I didn't look at it. Let me see if I got it. I think I do. Just a second.
I could be mistaken, but I thought around this time we brought in about $500,000, $600,000.
I can tell you in just a minute.
Because if memory serves me, the entire year it almost takes of the sales tax in order for there to be enough money to make that bond payment.
We brought in about $577,000 this year right now, $577,000.
I guess that's my question. Are we down $1.1 million from last year?
Oh, no. I don't think we're down.
I misunderstood you then. I thought you'd said that at this time we had enough money to make that bond payment
last
year.
Actually, no, we're probably down about our revenues this year are 4.432. Revenues last year at this time, including the law enforcement tax, were $1.1 million more, something like that. So we're down maybe $500,000 in revenues. And I really hadn't had a chance to look at that. The sales tax revenues are up at this point.
Okay, but on the law enforcement sales tax, which we set aside, mm-hmm. there's approximately $400,000, $500,000 in revenue. We wish you'd keep us attuned to that, because when we reach the figure that we paid for out of the reserve funds that we had with the sewer district, then we want to be able to make the motion and hopefully approve that motion to move those funds back in. So okay. If you'll keep us.
Well, that's one reason I give you this each month, and you can look at that law enforcement tax right now. The funds for the law enforcement tax, the fund balance is 506, 519. 35. That's one of the things that you get in this report here.
Right.
So, and sometimes those things are not easy to find. So if you ever come across something that you have a question about, you know, ask. I'll be glad to show you that. But that's one of those things.
I have a question.
Sure.
On the road and bridge funds, last year, 2012, we combined a couple of those road and bridge funds. Are you tracking the difference in the capital improvements and the separation of the other as we look at this report?
Am I tracking the difference in what?
The road materials and funds versus the Road and Bridge Trust.
Can I jump in?
Yeah.
We set that up, I think, for the year 2012, made the change of combining the two after discussions.
Happened last year.
Because we had two separate funds. One of those funds, however, is for a specific purpose. And we were to track what those expenditures were that were being made, even though it was combined within one fund. Is that where you're headed?
That's where I'm headed to, is to know that the tracking of the difference of the two.
I don't know what you're talking about, the difference, Danny. We, and I've had this discussion with our state auditors. They want to know that we're spending that money for capital improvements. My response to her was what does Road and Bridge do that's not a capital improvement? And you know, can you answer me that? There's very few things that Road
and
Bridge
did. She take that as an answer? I'm just
really curious. She didn't really particularly like that, but you know, the last time they were here, they finally agreed to the fact that, yes, those salaries over there are capital improvements.
Could we not take specific line items such as asphalt, road oil, road materials that we know are going into the building of and maintenance of those roads and balance on salaries and say, here it is?
It's obvious we could do that, yes.
They're going to come to us, and I think that they're going to We can do that just by going through the budget, so
Ron,
that's okay.
I'm pretty sure they're going to come to you and want you to put it back in two separate funds now that they've said it was okay to put it to one, but if they do, they do.
That's the point. The call was made by the auditor's office to the state auditors and ask if we could combine the funds, and the answer was yes.
Yes. And now so they're asking that. They're going
to
ask.
They just want us to track and make sure that we're spending those funds for what they're supposed to be spent for. And I think, understand that.
Yeah, I think I think it's appropriate that we do. But I think that I think she got her answer appropriate. Then, so I don't know.
Okay.
I hope I answered your question too. Did I? Or?
Yes, I'm okay.
Nothing else.
Are you sure you don't have at least one question, Brandon?
How was your weekend?
It was good, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Finley.
Thanks, guys.
Prosecuting attorney. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks, gentlemen, for seeing me. I'm here because back in March, we had an assistant prosecutor in my office who's a full-time assistant prosecutor join the National Guard. So for the past 10 weeks, he's been in boot camp, and the plan was he was going to go on to officer training school straight out of boot camp at some other state in the U.S., and his OTS, or officer training school, plans changed, and we expect him back maybe as early as this week, when before we had not planned on him being back until the end of August or beginning of September. So, in anticipation of him being absent until August or September, we had hired a replacement to take his place so that we would not be left swarmed over and overwhelmed and understaffed for those many months. And we hired a person who's doing a really great job, and we would like to keep that person. And so I'm here today to ask permission, I suppose, or approval to use discretionary funds that are available to my office to retain the person we hired to fill in from now until the end of the calendar year. And then with the next budget, make whatever arrangements we can or need to make at that time to either make it a more long-term decision or make whatever adjustments we need to make.
No, that's fine with me. Those discretionary funds are left up to you the way they're to be spent anyway. Of course, the budget discussions are stretched out lengthy period of time that we'll go through, so I'm fine with it. I have no problem with you keeping this person on if you're paying for it out of that discretionary fund.
I did want to be sure that I contacted the commission about it, because I know that it does make changes that are not just changes by transferring money from my discretionary funds to general county revenue, because I know it's another body, another full-time employee, and so I wanted to be sure everyone was aware of that and would approve that.
So for the last 6 months or six plus months of the year, the question is whether or not to continue with an additional employee. What were your thoughts about benefits since the person left was being paid benefits?
Well, I think that they've both received benefits. Now, one has not received benefits during the time he's been at boot camp, but will be entitled to benefits once he comes back.
Well, that's my question, because policy is that doesn't start immediately. So if it's something different that you're proposing, we need to address that. And how long has that employee been gone? Just a short period
since
of time.
10 weeks. It's been gone 10 weeks. And for like 2 weeks of that, he was still, I think, receiving maybe not benefits in the form of health insurance, because he probably got that through the military, but I think he was paid for 2 weeks that he was first gone because of military leave.
So the main question is whether the benefits for the 6 months are going to roll on. That's what you're asking this morning for his return, because you already have the other person on benefits, right?
Correct.
So we're talking about salary and we're talking about benefits for the balance of the year.
Right.
And it's your recommendation that comes from one of the discretionary funds that you have?
Yes.
I'm in favor of him doing that to the end of the year. Then we have to have the budget discussion regarding the year 2014. That's just my opinion, gentlemen. But I would like the record to show that the prosecutor did come in with the county commission, in fact, did agree that we should follow his recommendation and move forward effective soon.
Yeah, what I'll do is when the employee that's been on military leave returns, he'll be advised to immediately check in with the Human Resources Department and I guess start from there.
Brandon, questions?
Questions.
Well, benefits are going to start as soon as he comes back, right?
That would be my plan.
Some sort of, because of military leave, is there not a...
I think we'd be required probably to start his benefits immediately.
The kink is that we replaced his position, so we are beginning to back. I agree with you. I think that there are things in place, and yes, we need to start benefits, my opinion.
And with what you've got coming down the pipeline... And,
whatever are you talking about?
Surely not the multiple crimes you're having to deal with.
Right.
Your department's going to have a heavy load, and we understand that. And
I have one question.
Probably the next 2 years.
I've got one question for you. On new hires that we have, there is a probationary period. Is that time on the new employee for the 10 weeks? Is that in play here, or was that voided out?
I think with the new hires... we followed or are following county policy for the probationary period, if that's okay. What you're asking.
Right. So there is a time lapse there, actually, of a short period of time where there is a probationary period. I'm fine with the monies coming out of another account. We'll have that other discussion later.
Okay, and I will stop by and see... Well, I see Mr. Finley still in here. I'll stop and visit with him so that we can get the figures put in place, if that's all right.
You bet.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your
sir.
Time.
University of Extension update. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I've got a report here for you.
Thank you.
Programs presented, we've been busy as usual.
Nellie, would you do me a favor and introduce yourself? Where?
I will. I'm Nellie Lammers with University of Missouri Extension. I'm the Family Financial Education Specialist at the Taney County Extension Office.
Thank you.
Thank you. We now have a Master Gardener Brown Bag Lunch Series going, and it has been going really well. The first week we had around 30 people attend, and they also visit our office when they're there. This is held at the garden office that the Master Gardeners have created out behind our office. I've done two Making Money Count spending plan sessions. The nice thing about this is same people at both sessions, so it's been an ongoing thing which people get a little bit more out of. Crystal was involved in the business resource booth at the Branson Business Expo. I, myself, and two of our nutrition program associates were involved in the family finance resource booth and nutrition booth at the Senior Resource Fair in Reed Spring. Our nutrition program associate, Barb Beck, has been very busy. You can see the list of schools and events that she has participated in. And then other things we participated in, I'm working with the Federal Reserve Bank about a partnership for our VITA program, the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. Crystal and I are both involved in the Extension Health Insurance Education Initiative. What that is, MU Extension specialists are going to begin teaching some sessions on the Affordable Care Act and insurance, health insurance literacy sometime this fall. We've been working on the grant applications for the SCAGS grants that have become available.
Could you elaborate on that a little bit, what those grants are?
I can. There are three grants. The first one is called the Health Partners Grant, and the total amount they will give on that is $200,000, probably split between three or four applicants. It is basically a one organization grant. The application for it is due June 30th, so we're just about to get that one wrapped up to submit it for final approval to everybody before we actually submit the application. The second one is a small grant. It's a total of $5,000 for, you know, just a small project. We're working on an application for that as well, and it is also due June 30th. The third one is the Health Coalition grant. It's due July 30th. It's to be an application with partners. So we've talked to Danny a little bit about some areas where the commission or the where the Parks Board could be involved with that. We're working with some other organizations within the community on that one. It is a total of $240,000 this year. Again, probably split between three to four applications. These are coming from a $25 million endowment that SCAGS received when Cox bought out SCAGS. Their plan is to basically give the interest that's earned on that $25 million each year in grant applications. The grants are all to be aimed at Stone and Taney counties' health and wellness initiatives. So we're very excited about that. It's a great opportunity for Taney and Stone counties. Any other questions or something I can, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. We've participated in some other meetings. Healthy Families Task Force. We also work with the Children's Trust Fund on that task force, and we get a grant from them yearly. The small business events Crystal has been involved in. The Lean Six Sigma Greenbelt Certification Training is one that Barb did. The Cohort 16 training is a training for new Extension employees that I'm helping with. The Taney County OCAC Board meeting and the VITA Atlas meeting, I've been involved with those.
the Taney County Business Program Development Community and Product Readiness presentation Crystal did, and also the Dale Carnegie Public Speaking Seminar Crystal was involved in. Crystal had 16 counseling sessions with new and existing business clients over the last month. And then the county program director announcements, and I should say also that I am here representing our office for Crystal, who usually comes. She's on vacation for a few days right now. University of Missouri Extension did make public, I guess, the official staffing plan on May 30th, and it includes a 4-H youth specialist to be housed in Taney County to cover Taney, Stone, and Christian counties. Hiring is scheduled to begin this summer, and we do have an office for this person, but it needs some upgrades. It's actually the little office kind of in the back of our building that used to be the porch. So upgrades to it. It needs to have an internet line, a phone line put in. It also needs to have air conditioning and heating. There's no vent for the air conditioning and heating to get into that office. It needs an electric outlet as well. So we are asking for help with that. We know it wasn't in our original budget, but MU Extension is making a very large investment putting this 4-H specialist down here. So really, I guess we just need to find out from you all how we proceed with working on those upgrades for that office for this person.
Is that going to be a full-time position or seasonal?
It's a full-time position, and we're hoping that they would start being there end of August, first of September. Could be sooner than that. Could be a little bit longer, but... We do have two 4-H clubs now, which is very exciting in Taney County. The newest one, the Taney County Trailblazers, had their first enrollment on May 1st. The one that's been here for a little while is the Taney County Achievers 4-H Club. And one thing that we're really excited about for them, they've been awarded a grant from the National Rifle Association, supplying $6,615 in equipment to support their shooting sports projects. So, great news for them. The Achievement Day and livestock shows will take place during the Taney County Fair. The theme, Building a 4-H Dynasty, Experience the Adventure. I guess that's really all that I need to talk about on that. You see a list of our upcoming workshop announcements. Barb Beck and I will be involved in the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Senior Resource Fair booth, and I will give a presentation there, When Creditors Are Predators. I have a kids and self-esteem session on June 13th at the Boys and Girls Club here in Forsyth, and Barb has summer school nutrition sessions planned in Forsyth Elementary. Crystal will have workshops every day at the Small Business Week workshop program, and the Master Gardener Brown Bag Lunch Garden Series. Free workshops are held on the first Tuesday of each month through October at our Backyard Garden Center and MU Extension office. Native Landscaping will be June 4th. Insects in the Garden, July 2nd. And then one other thing that I need to ask about, we had a problem with our phone system in February. The phone people had to come out and fix it. And we had a charge on there. One time, actually, they charged us twice because they came out twice, $95 each, so $190. And Danny was able to attend our council meeting last Tuesday and said that we should check with the commission because that maintenance fee might be covered through the maintenance fee. here, and so we just wondered about that, what we would need to do to have those expenses paid back to us, I guess.
So really two questions for us regarding the phone bill that was extracted from your budget rather than from our utility section that we have in the overall budget. And the second was the enhancements that you all are proposing for the building.
Correct,
have
yes.
Have you looked at that?
Yes.
No, I haven't. We just brought it up Tuesday night, so I haven't reviewed it yet.
Do you guys have any objection to having someone from the county go down and take a look to give us an idea of what type of expense we're talking about?
Nothing. It'd probably be proper for Big Z or to him and Delmer to go down and look and see what the cost might be and give us an estimated cost. Probably get with Ron Erickson and visit with him on expenditures. I don't think it'll be that extensive, but...
Would you mind if you... Would you chat with him
yeah.
on our behalf?
Yeah, I can do that.
Wonderful.
We'll look into it.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. On utility bills that come, my suggestion is, rather than transferring monies back and forth, billing that way billing two line items within the budget, that you contact us before any of those are paid so that we can direct them to the right line item.
Okay.
So that we can pay those direct.
All right, thank you.
Make it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Thank you so much for your report. Do you gentlemen have questions of?
No, it goes along with the subject. Is there actually going to have a, the fair starts tomorrow night, and Extension Office will have a presence there through these different things that she's mentioned, plus hopefully future plans for a exhibit hall or something there for the 4-H'ers to view their livestock or whatever produce or whatever they have. So as I've mentioned before, our extension office is extremely busy with projects. Whereas we know as commissioners, as we attend other commissioner meetings, that 4-H is not being budgeted near as heavily as it is in Taney County right now, but they don't have as many activities as we have. And I'm excited to see the hard work that the staff is putting in to help in that situation and improve the extension office activities in our area.
Thank you so much for your report.
You're welcome. Thank you all very much. We really appreciate your support for extension and are thrilled that we're able to work in this county.
Mr. Atchley, good morning.
Good morning.
Flood buyout discussion?
Yes.
Bob had come to me and we chatted about some of the expenses that we're getting ready to incur as this process moves forward, as well as some technical issues that we're facing. For one, we cannot earn any monies through arbitrage on the funds that we're going to be receiving that will be coming to Taney County, whether those be federal, I think, and or state, which means one of a couple of things. Either we have to make the expenses first, which I've heard this commission say many times they did not want to do, and or set up a separate account wherein no interest will be earned, because we cannot earn interest on those funds. If we earn a penny or a nickel, we have to in turn write a check to the agency that provided the funds. So there's a lot of rules that are tied to these dollars that we have to adhere to. I know that we're going to be having expenses that are going to be incurred, for example, the appraisals. We have selected the individual that will do the appraisals on those properties. The individual will expect to be paid. Question is, do we wait for the funds to come? Do we make those payments? What was that total amount, Bob? Was it 45 or 50?
Yes, 4,500.
4,500. Given the comments that were made in the past, knowing that those expenses are going to be coming up soon within the future, I thought it would be good that we have some discussion so that Bob has direction and we don't, in fact, approve expenditures if this commission doesn't want us to approve any expenditures whatsoever until those funds are in place. That's, and what else is there, Bob? Have I missed?
I think that's really it. What, and you're exactly correct. What both SEMA and the Missouri Department of Economic Development have indicated is exactly what Presiding Commissioner Houseman had indicated, is that either the county can basically write checks for each of these individual expenses and seek reimbursement, or the county can submit paperwork along with the invoices requesting these funds be paid directly to the county prior to county checks being cut. They've indicated in either case that it would be a 3 or 4 day electronic transfer is what they've indicated to us.
Well, if it's 3 or 4 days, I don't see a real issue. My fear is it's the government.
and I kind of have the same concern.
I have a concern with it running into next year. I'm so disgusted with the total process of trying to get these people their money for the devastation that they suffered going on 2 years ago, that we and the county has nothing but to try to follow the rules and regulations of the federal government and the state as far as the SEMA program, that this may run into next year before some of these people would receive their funding. Now, the people that we've asked to do the work, I feel like, should be paid ourselves, that we've asked for appraisals. Where, I mean, just as we're paying Mr. Ashley through his work being done on this, I don't see any difference in that than there would be of paying the appraiser or other people that are involved. How we do that the best, this earning of money on the interest that's received after the bank bids last week, I think that's a very minor amount to be in discussion, although I know it's a check to be cut. So however you want to proceed with that, that's fine with me, but I would like to see the people that we ask to do work, and once the work is completed, then we either set that up in a separate account and pay them. The work is done, and we don't want them to suffer the same consequences of federal government holding money back till they can be paid.
The good part, at least from the budgetary perspective, and Rick, you correct me if I'm wrong, we budgeted both for the receipt of the funds as revenues, and we budgeted for the expenditure as expenditures through the budget. So we have the line each time that we have an expense to place that within, and obviously a line to bring the revenues into the budget. If I'm hearing what you're saying, you're interested in paying the smaller expenses that are going to come up front and then applying for them through the appropriate agency. My bigger question is, a month down the road or whenever that time comes, that the appraisals are in and that the appropriate agency has accepted those appraisals, and we actually hire, I guess it's us that does the hiring of the contractors?
Yes, yes.
Saying to rebuild. I'm talking about tear down and whatever expenses are.
Yes. Yeah, so from here, if I could, I can kind of walk us through from this point.
Go right ahead.
The county has hired the appraisal company. He's going to be working on the appraisals as we speak. He's indicated that he will likely have these appraisals completed in about 3 or 4 weeks or so. At the same time, unfortunately, that this is going on, Mickey Davis is working on the environmental assessment. And this is the unfortunate part of it. FEMA actually required the environmental assessment prior to approval of that grant, but the Missouri Department of Economic Development will not allow you to do an environmental assessment until after they've approved the grant. And so before we can proceed, he has to receive approval for this environmental assessment. Now, he's indicated that that he'll be submitting that environmental assessment to them this week, to the Missouri Department of Economic Development. And so what my hope is that that's approved by CDBG or by the Missouri Department of Economic Development at the same time that this appraisal is approved. Once both of those items are concluded, the county will have to put out a bid for a closing company, for a title company, and we'll have to close on each one of these properties individually, like you would any other closing. We'll have to set up 9 individual closings, and each one of those property owners will either have the ability to accept the offer based on that appraised value, to decline the offer, since it is a voluntary program, or they can actually have their own appraisal conducted, and they can appeal, and basically then both appraisals are sent into FEMA, and FEMA's appraiser basically determines what that value is going to be, if it's going to be, and they've really kind of indicated that a lot of times they will split the difference, essentially, if the county's appraisal was lower, the property owner hired their own appraiser, and it was higher, a lot of times what they see is FEMA splits the difference, essentially. From there, you're exactly correct. The county will have to go out for bid again and hire both a contractor to demolish the homes, and then also the county will have to have an asbestos specialist that comes in and shows that there's no asbestos in any of these homes.
The expenses that the county incurs are in part or totally paid through the overall grant. Am I not mistaken?
Yes. So 75% of all of those costs are paid for by FEMA through this hazard mitigation grant program. The 25% match of all of the costs are to be paid for by the CDBG grant, this community development block grant. So really 100% of the costs are exactly what you said, either federal or state funds, but the county has to act as a pass-through for these funds. Basically, these individuals could not have applied to FEMA on their own. The county has to act as the applicant.
When we've complied with all the different steps and hoops that we have to jump through, you have been advised that we will be paid, let's say, X amount of dollars on John Doe's home, and then we pass that through within 3 or 4 days is what they've told you?
That's what they've indicated, is that it would literally be an electronic transfer.
Well, here's what we have said from the very beginning. We want to make sure that it's not the county that's dragging its feet. and that all these steps and hoops that we have to jump through are either the Fed or the state. So my suggestion is that we make sure that we're ready every time that we have an opportunity to be a player to make sure that we expedite our portion of this process.
Exactly.
We need to, again, sit with the treasurer and see if, in fact, we need to set up a second account. It sounds to me as if that's going to fall within the new bank bid, which begins, what, at the first of the month? It may not, but...
So the expenditure line has already been created through the budget.
Yes, sir.
And so the amount of monies that would be set up in this new account would be something that I guess the commission would take advisement upon from Mr. Ashley on the amount of money that needs to be put in that account. I'm just really concerned about this run into the first of the year.
No, there won't be. We won't be placing. I don't believe we'll be placing any funds within the account. What funds will go into the account are the ones that come from the Fed or from the state.
Exactly.
What about the expenditures?
That's for the expenditures.
How much money are we going to put in the account? Because it's basically...
If we write something out of GCR, let's say, to pay the appraiser for doing the appraisals, then my assumption is that Rick would credit it to that line that we have set up within the budget, and we pay for it out of GCR. The revenues would come back in and then would stay with General County Revenue because it's owed. Is that how you see that, Rick?
Yeah, my concern is that we have good documentation about the expenses that we truly have. Danny, right now, you just said, well, go with Mr. Ashley. He tells me that his time should be paid for out of that grant also. As well as, I mean, I just heard him say we're going to have to do two more bid processes. We need to calculate what those actual expenses that we have there are and make sure that we can put those in the grant. Absolutely, because we're already spending money out on that. It's not coming out of that particular line. We need to make sure we account for that.
Well, the comments that were made today is the first indication I've had that we can apply part of your salary to those expenses. Is that what you intended to say earlier?
Well, and let me dig into this.
I know that the expenses for those that we bring on board,
but
I don't know about existing employees.
And that's the thing I'm not certain of either, honestly. I know that since we've hired Mr. Davis to manage both of these, even though I've done quite a bit of work on this, it's always been my understanding that I don't know if part of my salary can be.
We'll look into that.
I'll dig into it, though. I definitely will.
As well as in the process, as well as in Mr. Erickson's.
I look at a major expense here because we have it budgeted, but what I'm talking about is that whenever you hire a construction contractor to come in there and to demolish these buildings, and then we have to have a person to come in and look for asbestos and things like that. Those people are going to have bills that are turned in on a regular basis. And so that's where my concern is the amount of dollars that's going to build up before the first of the year.
Do you think all this is going to be completed before the first of the year, Mom? It's possible.
I sure hope so. I mean, in all sincerity, I really hope so. I'm so leery to throw a date out there as long as this is taken up to this point.
We put a lot of thought and work into what we thought the total expenses were going to be when we built the budget. And I think that we are covered within the existing budget. If there's a part of this that drags to next year, then we would rebudget for 2014, but well, I'm hopeful that it concludes soon.
I am as well.
Good point, though, Rick. We will investigate what you brought up. I believe we need to have the treasurer, however, create an account that is absolutely non-interest bearing, that when the funds do come in, we can put them in that account and then write a check out of.
That's a good idea. You know that there will be some interest there if we put it in the VCR, and it would be not worth the time and effort to calculate that. So I would say we get that money in.
What other questions do you have of us, Bob?
I think that's really it at this point. I mean, I knew, just as you had indicated, that we'll likely receive our first invoice on this, you know, from the appraiser within the next month or so, within the next 30 days or so. And I just wanted to be certain, you know, if how this would be paid, if the county would pay this at the front end and seek reimbursement, or if we would first basically submit the document, the forms to receive the funds and then cut the check on this. And
I've got a question for you. Is the demolition going to be an expenditure bid for all the buildings, or is it going to be individual?
My hope and my thought was that it would be for all of the buildings. Yeah, is we were really looking at all nine, having one contractor basically demolish all nine.
There's so the same company that looks for the asbestos in the homes, will they be contracted through the contractor for demolition, or will they be contracted through the county?
I took it, and that's one thing I've still got to find out, but I took it that we could have one individual that was contracted for asbestos and then one company that was contracted for the actual demolition. But it may be possible if we have a contractor that can do both. That's one thing I need to dig into, is if we can have basically one company potentially that does both, or whether we have two separate bids.
And those questions need to be asked, and Mickey Davis, who's been through this before, should be able to supply us with those answers, because we hired him
exactly
to take care of that. If we're going to have this expedited at a rather quick pace, we're talking about 6 months, that's no time within what we've been dealing with here. So all those questions need to be answered so that we can have a layout. I get calls regularly on this issue, and I don't even live over in that area, because Mr. Williams wasn't involved at the time. I'm sure that he doesn't probably get as many calls as the commission that was present whenever this took place. And so these people are asking me questions that I can't answer. I'd like to have some form of answer to be able to give them, or to pass it on to Mr. Williams, who's going to be getting those same questions. And
what's your number again?
417-546-7204.
What one thing I don't know if I've made the commission aware of either is usually about once a month, if not more frequently than that. This is the nice thing, is eight of the nine property owners have email addresses. And so usually once a month, I try to give them a status update. And I'm going to try to do it much more frequently as this thing gains momentum. That way, at least those property owners that are immediately impacted have a better idea of exactly where this stands and what our next steps are.
Well, we didn't hire you to do this, so I wish you'd get it taken care of so you can get on to what we hired you for.
I understand. I understand.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good luck in your meeting this evening.
Thank you.
Do you expect a big crowd?
Don't know yet. We haven't received a large number of phone calls, but this was on television Friday, so we're not certain yet.
Thank you. Gentlemen, we have counsel here. We're scheduled for a session with him regarding legal issues that we're involved in, as well as a couple of personnel issues, I think.
Did you...
I passed over this morning commission remarks on when we called this to order, because I didn't see it stuck in there. Dan, you have a comment you want to make?
Yes, I do. In, I think, probably starting this week sometime, the Road and Bridge office will be operating out of 16317 Highway 160, which is the IT department down here. We're going to have to replace some windows with the recent rains that we've had. We've got some problems over there that need to be addressed, and they will move to that location. Anyone having Road and Bridge problems naturally call in, but they have a lot of inflow traffic into that area, and they, of course, they'll have a sign on the door, but I want them to be sure that this, that the public understands that this is the IT training room, which is down on the front of the building.
When is that? When are we doing that?
Well, they're making arrangements this morning to start moving. They won't be moved probably sometime midweek or something. And it'll be for a short period of time.
Gentlemen, I'd entertain a motion to go into exec.
Move to go into executive session per section 610.021, subsection 1, 2, 3, and 12.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to move into executive session pursuant to section 610.021, subsections 1, 2, 3, and 12. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Danny aye.
Brandon aye.
Ron aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries. We'll stand in executive session until...
Daily staff review.
Until I go over this information with staff at the end of that session, which could be lengthy. Is that correct, Mr. Counsel?